Coming up in just seconds, we're going to visit with Margaret Buckton from the Iowa School Finance Information Services Company. Now, they do business with 300 of Iowa's 330 school districts, helping them deal with budgets, financing, board training, and more. We'll be talking about Iowa and education from the business side of the ledger. This in light of our story that says teachers in the United States are actually being paid less than they were in 2009. Stay with us. Inside on Business the News Hour is made possible by the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro International. That's TERO.com. And AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people no matter their age. From creating more livable communities to employment of older workers to voting education. AARP Iowa. Real possibilities.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits of any size. AURION.com. And Action Coach Monty Wyatt and Live to Lead with John Maxwell, Carly Fiorina, Daniel Pink, and Deborah Cyril. That's Live, the number 2, LeadDesMoines.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked in for more of the news that we bring you each and every day. With us in studio is Margaret Buckton. That means we're going to be talking about schools. She is a partner with the Iowa School Finance Information Services. That's a for-profit organization based here in Des Moines, but doing business in 300 school districts across Iowa. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Margaret. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Wow, you guys are kind of busy. 300 of 330 districts fall under your purview?
You bet. And you know, I think a real reason for our success is in the last 8 years, school funding has been a challenge for school districts. And so our mission is to continue to make tools that help schools better analyze their own financial condition and better invest their money for results for student learning. And there's never been a greater need for becoming more efficient than in the last decade.
Well, efficiency is kind of hard to come by, I would suspect. I mean, last year, legislative session, I believe it was a 1% increase for school funding?
Yes, and that's a 1% per student increase in the cost per pupil. If you are a school district like two-thirds of those in Iowa with declining enrollment,
right,
that could actually mean a decrease in your budget. The students don't all efficiently leave from the second grade, so you can lay off that second grade teacher. They tend to have enrollment changes across classrooms. So
right,
that doesn't necessarily mean you can reduce staff when you see an enrollment decline. But for those districts with increasing enrollment, they get an increase bigger than 1%, but they've got to hire new staff sometimes to staff those classrooms, especially if you're a Waukee or Ankeny with 400 to 600 kids. That's a new elementary school about every year, every 2 years. So it depends on your enrollment change, but it hasn't been easy for any district with that low an increase in the cost per student.
When we talk about that 1% financing for schools, is it really 1% per student?
Well, it is actually 1% per student in the funding formula, and the legislature can fund things outside of the formula. This last year, they did put
a one-time thing for school buses, is that right?
Yeah, for transportation costs that exceed the statewide average, and that helped about 100 school districts that have significant transportation costs coming out of that cost per student.
And that's a one-year
It's a one-year grant, if you want to call it that. I believe the legislature intends to put it in the formula longer term, but they wanted to study if it was allocated correctly, if they could come up with the money to do a little bit more before they got specific about putting it in the formula.
Margaret Buckton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Iowa School Finance Information Services, working with some 300 school districts across Iowa, and this impacts, well, not only students, but also parents and teachers at the end of the day, right?
Oh, absolutely. The major expenditure in a school district's budget is staff.
Sure.
The average statewide is about 80% of that general fund is paying for staff. And we know the costs of insurance benefits are going up as healthcare costs increase. We also know that, you know, we've got a really low unemployment rate in the state of Iowa.
Right.
And so we've got employers in the private sector that are, you know, clamoring for quality, educated people who they can train to do the work that's
necessary.
Hello, teachers. You've got a degree. You've learned how to communicate. And you might be motivated if your class sizes are increasing and your salary is not keeping pace with the cost of living for you to think about going somewhere else.
This doesn't sound like a very advantageous role for any school board or school administrator out there in Iowa. I mean, if you're going to have to fight against, well, other jobs, perhaps better paying jobs, jobs in which you aren't required to be not only a teacher, but also a coach and also a crossing guard.
Mm-hmm. Or a bus driver.
Or a bus driver,
bus
yeah.
drivers in particular we can't find, yeah.
Wow, that's got to be tough. So it must be, excuse me for saying it, sounds cliched, but the love of the job.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think teachers go to work every day knowing that they can make a difference in the lives of students. I know that's true for our administrators as well. And, you know, school board members aren't doing it for the money because it's an unpaid volunteer position.
Right.
So there has to be this this knowledge and this anticipation that you're going to make a difference in the future of Iowa that I really think brings people to education. And it's got to be sufficient, whatever we pay to compete with the private sector, in order to allow that love of the job to be delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know, Michael, I would say one reason Iowans can know that we've hit that point of not being competitive, we have shortage area teaching positions in a lot of rural districts by geography, but a lot of content areas such as science and mathematics and special ed teachers and almost every secondary level position, that means high school position, there are not enough applicants to fill positions, let alone what we would consider cream of the crop, top of the heap applicants that we want in our schools.
So we've pretty much set out what the problem is or what the issues are, lack of employees, minimal support for education from the legislature, or so it would seem anyway to many of us that watch that closely. What are some of the answers for this? And you folks are dealing with budgets and school boards and school administrators trying to help them deal with those issues.
Sure. I think one thing is if we could set, and this is what business does really well, you set a benchmark that indicates a target, something you're trying to say.
Margaret, you're talking sense here.
I know, darn it. So I was just looking at our gross state product, which is like our gross domestic product for the state of Iowa, going back to 1997. The Legislative Services Agency did a little issue review on that. And they showed growth in the business sector in Iowa and how that has transpired, adjusting for cost of living in 20 years, and growth in government over that time period. And growth in the business sector has far exceeded by four times. So you're looking at 60 to 65% growth in that part of our state product, if you want to call it that, that is now private sector, whereas the government has grown 18% over that 20-year period. And there are a lot more things government is doing now in Iowa than it was 20 years ago. A good example of that is we have preschool now as part of school, and we never had that before. And that's a good thing. That's the kind of thing that's going to make citizens ready for the workforce, and that's why business really opted into advocating for that. But Medicaid and healthcare now is a much bigger piece of the pie than it was 20 years ago. So when we say government has grown 18% in 20 years, that doesn't mean education has. And so it's not keeping pace. When we think of education, we ought to think of it as investment in the economy or, you know, developing talent, as opposed to thinking of it as a government expenditure.
One of the things that we continually talk about is that very subject. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it with aging. We talk about it with workplace harassment. We talk about it in all of these areas as economic drivers of our GDP. If we take the focus off of whatever the social thing is and then translate that into, into the business sense, what impact does this have on the economics moving forward?
If we invest in education and do it right, we have a group of students graduating high school that are then ready to go on to that next step. We have a solid 2 or 3 years track record of thinking about career and technical education and how we have job training and internships are unfolding. I think that's all a great conversation. But sadly, there hasn't been money invested in those things for school districts. So, you know, we're setting that anticipation. The only way you do that is by putting less money into the second grade, you know, if you don't have an increase in resources.
Well, let's talk about that for just a moment, because I think when you go to these various school districts, and hats off to our teachers and educators and special ed people and social workers in rural Iowa, because they're really up against a wall in many of these places. Where do you start to take a look at the budget of these school districts, and where do you start to cut?
You know, it's always a local decision, because there are the sacred cow in one district is different from it is in another. In one place, you can say maybe we're going to put a little bit less into the wrestling team. In another place, that's not going to fly, because all politics are local.
Right.
I think one of the most important things you can do right now is make sure that school districts are taking advantage of the flexibilities that are available in other funds and maximizing those, so that they create room in their general fund. So we've had a legislative conversation now for a few years on extending the state penny for school infrastructure.
Yes.
Right? So that sales tax, by the way, it was passed in 99 counties as a local option tax over a period of about 8 years, which is extraordinary. You can't get Iowans in 99 counties to agree the sun is shining, right? So that was extraordinary. Iowans would prefer sales tax to property tax to pay for school infrastructure. If we get that extended as the bill that was approved in the House in the 2017 session, 95-3, I mean, it's 95 representatives agreed on that bill.
That's remarkable.
If the Senate would take that up, that gives a funding stream that then pays for not just school infrastructure, but technology and school safety. If you can do refitting lighting so that you have LEDs, you save the electric budget. The LED project comes out of that state penny, but the savings in the electric costs are in the general fund. And then those can be used for staff and curriculum and those kinds of things that are necessary to educate students. So that's where we always look first, is are you maximizing all the options available to you to free up that general fund for the most important thing? And we all know the most important thing is the teacher in the classroom and delivering that education for students.
And as individuals are taking a look at those budgets across the state of Iowa, what we hear, and maybe it's hot button issues, don't touch my football program, don't touch my wrestling program, but I tell you what you can do, we don't need so many of the arts programs, let's do away with a choir or a drama or debate or those types of things. Is that what's sort of up in the air as well for school districts?
You know, some places we hear that, and it is, to me, that is heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
It defies logic and research, which tells us when we get kids involved in the arts early on, they learn to be creative thinkers. They learn to listen to each other. There's nothing like music to refine your ear, to listen to somebody else. And that's necessary in communication skills as well as it is in the field of music. We also know that kids that engage in music do better in math. They become better readers. And there was actually a research project done by Doug Reeves, who was with the Leadership and Learning Institute, because we always thought there was a chicken and egg issue. Are kids involved in extracurricular activities because they're good students?
Or
do kids become better students when they're involved in all those kinds of activities? And they actually had a school district project where they said, no matter what it is, we're going to find something for kids to do. If four kids want to be in a club to learn how to play dominoes and become competitive at it, we're going to do it. And they got every kid involved in something. They saw their AP scores go up. They saw their grades go up. They saw their graduation rate go up. They saw discipline and referrals drop. And all of that is getting kids excited about being at school and something that they're passionate about. Yeah. There you go. And the arts. And I really like the conversation now. We've talked about STEM.
Right.
Science, technology, engineering, and math. And there are districts that are adding the A in there and making it STEAM.
Absolutely. And that does have something to do in every single study that we've looked at anyway. Is articulate to that point, that if you have well-rounded individuals in school, they will learn better and they will be more prepared for the workforce. Speaking of the workforce, long-term, a number of businesses in Iowa are starting to partner with schools, even in the high school area, saying, okay, these are the types of workers we need in two, four, five, 8 years and actually offering jobs in the business and paying school tuition to community colleges if they'll stay with the company. So, so private enterprise is oftentimes rolling in to say, hey, we got to do something different.
You bet. It's a really great grow your own philosophy. It also has people already connected to the community, right? So, you know, if you're in a smaller rural area and you grew up there and you can find a job and value, you're more likely to stay there than somebody that's coming from either an urban center in Iowa or somewhere else out of state. So it's a really smart way to connect kids to jobs, to align their education to what they need to know in order to produce those jobs. The Rural School Advocates of Iowa, one of the groups that I work with, has been talking about teacher shortages for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And in those career and technical education areas that we have, I think the one that we're lacking is public service. Because we don't have a grow your own for teachers or police officers or state troopers or social workers or all of that other social infrastructure that provides a quality of life in Iowa. And that may be something that we're talking about in the next legislative session, because if a student can graduate high school with an administrative degree with the community college in education and then go to UNI for 2 years and graduate with their teaching degree, think of the savings it gives their parents for college tuition. They have less debt, so they're able to stay in Iowa, even if it's a slightly lower paying teacher salary than going to Texas or Minnesota. So economically, that works. But also, you get kids when they're enthusiastic about something in your community. And so, it seems to me like a nice fit, kind of partnering on what the business community has just figured out and been doing well.
Margaret Buckton is our guest. She is a partner with the Iowa School of Finance Information Services, based in Des Moines, but doing work all across the state of Iowa. Let's put on some forward-thinking glasses, Margaret. What do you see other than that piece of proposed opportunity for the legislature to take up next year? What other kinds of things do you think that you'll be working on in the future?
Sure. They have been talking about flexibility and delivering some of that for the last couple of years, allowing school districts to access funds that are targeted for a specific purpose that haven't been used in their district, repurpose those to something that makes sense. They've expanded the use of several things, like preschool can now pay for supplies when before they couldn't. We've had a very tightly restricted categorical funding stream for many things in Iowa. And I think we'll continue to look for those kinds of flexibilities. Of course, the election makes a difference because who's in charge will drive the agenda for education policy. But we'll certainly be talking about funding, about competitiveness with other states. I think we'll talk a little bit, too, about how do we recruit teachers to the field. And one thing Iowa has with an aging population is we have folks that are baby boomers, maybe ready to retire from the private sector, but not ready to retire from contributing to the community. So how do we engage those folks in a smart way into the classroom if it's something they'd be good at? And we seem to have, energetic and willing to engage population that are in their 50s. But you can't stop making money, quit your job, and spend 2 years to get credentialed as a teacher. There is a program that is working out of UNI, and I think maybe Morningside or another college too, that's looking at an on-the-job training for that. And we'd like to see some expansion of that and recruitment, especially in those hard-to-fill teaching positions.
Interesting stuff. Margaret Buckton has been our guest. Thank you so much for doing this. I think this is all seminal to the future of where our state is going to be, not just next year, but in 10 years, and how we can then marry success in education with success in our Iowa GDP. Thank you so much for doing this.
You bet. Thanks for having me.